Welcome. You're listening to the Internet Advisor Podcast with your co-hosts, Gary Baker, Foster Brown, and their team of experts. Since 1998, this program has been helping people like you with your computer problems, introducing you to valuable resources and programs, and promoting tech businesses in our area. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour radio program heard weekly on WJR 760 AM in Detroit and across the state on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Good afternoon and welcome. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, and our posse is in studio ready for a wonderful show this afternoon. Oh, we're going to be talking about everything, some great gadgets that Rick Broyd has got. He's got a bag full of them here, as a matter of fact. We're going to be talking about all sorts of fun things and then some great bargains. We'll be talking about the Battle of the Titans, taking on the FCC to free the net, and all sorts of other things this afternoon, along with Michigan Technology News. Stand by for that. Welcome, everybody, and it's a great afternoon here in the neighborhood. Internet Advisor is the program, and we've got 2 hours for you. First hour, we're going to be talking about gadgets and all sorts of good ones here with a man who has the inside track. That's Mr. Rick Broider. Rick, good to have you in studio here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
He is the cheapskate as well, by the way, folks, so we also get good deals on these things, right? So cheap, he won't even tip his hat. That's what I've heard.
Still my material.
The other folks in studio.
Is there any way we
that
can
was
get a
your
rim
line,
shot.
I think.
Any
I
way we can get a rim shot. For that.
Wait, we got some rim shots back there, don't we, Rich? No, we do. You'll get some up. In any case, we got Gary Baker's here as well.
I don't need a rim shot.
No. Ed Rudell and Kel Carson, it's good to have you guys here. I'm Foster Brown. Well, guys, this was quite a week for us on the Internet Advisor. I don't know if you noticed, because it happened, fortunately, for not a very big period of time, but suddenly we weren't visible on the Internet.
Where'd you go?
Poof!
When you say
that was exactly it, poof, we were gone. And
we joined big companies like Target a whole bunch of other companies, and we got hacked. Eh?
Well, we got hacked, and it was maybe Tuesday night or
they
Wednesday.
Didn't steal anything. They
they didn't. Fortunately,
did bad things.
But what happened was, and it was just kind of quick. And I just want to say this quickly because we're very, very fortunate to have IGD Solutions and Will Evans and Steve Heyer, who's been on here talking about robots last week. They're the folks who host our webpage, and they went to work right away. What happened was, a bank in Australia sent a notice. I got it. I thought it was spam. But this email came through that said, you know, that you're guilty of being a host for a phishing scam. And it was essentially that if you went to this, what it looked like, let's say pretend it was Bank of America. You thought you were going to Bank America. And in this case, it was ANZ, I think, was the Australian bank. It actually was taking you someplace else. And they were trying to steal your credentials and things like that.
Yeah, so they hacked us and made us a robot.
Yeah, what they did was they kind of drilled in through a hole in WordPress, which is what we use to put up our webpage, and were able to...
And they hosted a number of HTML documents.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what happened was the bank has real good security, caught it quickly, and I talked to Will Evans.
Called Foster at home? No.
Well, no, what happened was Will Evans, God bless him, he's worked for IGD, he says, it's about midnight. He says, I'm settling down to go to sleep, and all of a sudden my phone goes off, and it's an alarm because they have recognized this has gone on, and they immediately got to work with some of their people.
It was daytime business day during,
that's right,
in Australia.
It would have been the middle of the day in Australia. Yeah. They were bright and early in the morning.
See,
there.
That's why I don't do that job anymore.
Yeah,
and they got them up and out of bed, and it took them a few hours, but they found out that it was apparently what WordPress that we use, and a lot of people use, has been forever.
It's one of the best open source, but it's basically free way to develop your website.
Exactly, and we and tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people have put their put their websites up there. And what happens is, apparently, in the code behind that open source, there are some security holes. And they managed to find one of them, exploit it. But it was patched within under 24 hours, I think probably within about 18 hours, the folks at IGD had patched it up. But in case, I had an email from somebody who Catherine Hayes, okay, who helped to design some of the material we have on the webpage, said, is everything okay?
You had said something out that we were hacked.
Yes, and I think she saw it and said, what's going on? But in any case, the solution is we got it fixed, and that is the very, very good news.
You know, and so when people call the Internet Advisor and ask us, you know, who can we go to, you know, host our website and stuff,
yep,
and we've given them IGD.
IGD
solutions, IGD's, right, you know, name. And I think, Cal, you spoke to someone not too long ago, personally, that comes to you and said, hey, I have something. And you introduced them together.
Oh, yeah. I had a great friend of mine who, through the skating community, that has a golf course. And his wife sells golf, you know, designer golf balls. Mm-hmm. And they were having some issues with the website and the company they were dealing with, which was out of state and yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
Long story short, I talked to my fine friend over here, Baker, I think his name. Yeah. And he gave me Steve Heyer's number, who is with IDG, and I got them together, and they're going through each phase, and they're having a very enjoyable time, and they're feeling a lot more comfortable because, yeah, Steve is a good guy, and yep, he'll listen to you and work with you through the process to get you going in the right
what
direction.
Do you think,
well, the capabilities, yeah, of a good regional provider like them, you know, the same as, or very close to the same as, these big national rack space providers, right?
Right.
At a fraction of the cost.
Right.
And you can actually call and talk to somebody.
Unless
you want the very basic static, you know, GoDaddy, yeah, Rackspace, right, and a few of them are really cheap if you want just a static site.
But you get what you pay for in that sense.
When you want something that somebody has to do something and you have to talk to somebody, it's great to be able to talk to somebody here locally in the state of Michigan.
What moral can we draw from this? I think one of the things is to, if you're going to be putting up a website for your business or for yourself, find somebody local. I think find somebody that you can talk to.
It depends on what you need.
Yeah.
But, you know, the cheapskate over there, he'd probably say, no, just do GoDaddy at, $10 a month.
I'm interested.
Month or
what do you think?
Well, not for, you know, for a business, though. Obviously, you'd have to take some steps and maybe, you know, pony up to get good security and, mm-hmm, and that kind of support for an end user such as myself. I'm not going to pay big bucks for, you can go ahead and turn my site into a zombie site all they want. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, just turn it, take it down and put it up again.
Well, one of the things too, I think, is that you get to know the people you're dealing with there. You get to work with them locally, and you know they're the ones who get rusted out of bed at midnight, etc. To get things going. So I guess the moral of the story is, you know, to get somebody you can talk to, actually, not a robocall or something like that.
And then once again, you're doing things to help enhance the economy right here in Michigan, which
absolutely
is important, and we're
absolutely
all big for that.
All right, folks, when we come back, our man, the gadget guy, Rick Broida, has got some great things we're going to be talking about in just a minute. And we have a giveaway. We're going to be giving away it's an alarm clock and radio. I'm getting harassed. Unnecessarily, I might add, because of my little...
Appropriately, maybe.
Oh, dear. My mental slip here. We have a giveaway we're going to be doing a little later in the program. And I looked over. It looks like just a clock, but it's not a clock, Rick. It's more than that, I think.
No, this is a very high-tech clock radio, alarm clock radio, with Bluetooth and NFC capabilities. And the numbers kind of magically appear on the side. It's pretty cool.
And
it's
pretty has a good sound system, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
USB for charging your phone while it's laying.
Hologram that gets up in the morning and a little dance.
And you know, it's so much different when Rick talks about it as opposed to Foster. You know, Foster, it's a square box. Enjoy it.
There you go. We're going to be giving this gem away a little later on in the program. Okay, hey, Rick, you came in here with some really interesting kind of things. Talk to us about the slide stand. It's a stick-on smartphone stand?
Yeah, this is some of my favorite things are just little accessories that make life a little easier for you. And, you know, as a heavy-duty smartphone user, I like to read on my phone. I like to watch video on my phone, of course. And unfortunately, there's no way for me to prop it up. So if I want to, you know, read something while I'm eating breakfast or I want to watch a video or whatever, there's no way to prop up the phone. And there are cases you can get that have like built-in mm-hmm. kickstands. Yeah, mm-hmm. Ed's showing me one right here. But they're they're kind of thick and clunky, and you know they don't always work great. And what if you have another case that you like?
That's
better?
What my wife calls me. He's thick and clunky.
Stop. Where's the rim shot?
Wow. So I'm waiting. Oh. Are we getting it? Okay. So the slide stand is this very thin, basically kickstand type of thing that will adhere to the back of any smartphone or smartphone case. And it just, I'm showing it here so you can all,
yeah,
everybody,
hold it to the
everybody in the studio is looking. But
yeah,
it's just
hold it closer to the
mic. Oh, it is a great idea. So it's based sort of on those 3M products that you put in the on the wall, right? And then the piece of tape that you pull?
Well, it's not quite as easily removable as that,
okay,
because it's kind of like a semi-permanent adhesive. Like, you can pull it off, but then you can't really stick it on again a second time. But it's nice because it holds your phone in both a portrait and landscape orientation. So you can lay it down. Whoops. You can lay it down, or you can stand it up. And what I really like about this thing is it's $7.99. It's not like a $20, $25, you know, Kickstarter thing.
Excellent.
That's, you know, kind of overpriced for what it is. Mm-hmm. It's $8. And actually, I had a coupon code for it on the Cheapskate the other day that would get it to you for $5.59. But I don't know if that's still active or not. But even at $8, it's just a nice little accessory.
By the way, as Rick is talking about these things, if you go to internetadvisor.net, we have hot links that will take you right to the page so you can take a look at this. If you're listening to this, for instance, on a podcast or right now, you could, if you got a computer
handy. And it's now hacker-free.
Yes, it's now hacker-free. Thank you very much. Yeah, we aren't plundering any banks in any other part of the world right now. But it's kind of neat because you get to see a picture of how that goes. Now, there's like an adhesive strip on it that
right.
you can put onto the back of
yeah.
a carrying case or whatever else you have for your phone. That's really kind of neat. Okay, and as you say, it also swivels around so that you can use it in either mode?
Yeah, landscape or portrait mode, and it just sticks on. And it's, you know, I will say, I mean, it's plastic. It's not the prettiest thing I've ever seen, but, you know, I really... like it.
You know, a can of spray paint that's black and you never know the
there
difference.
There you go. There you go. Or I need wood stain.
There you go. There you go. There we
got
it.
That got a rim shot. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. All right. The next item you have is called the Go Key. And tell us, pray tell, what is that?
Yeah, so the Go Key actually is a Kickstarter project. So it's not in production just yet, but it's really kind of cool.
Explain Kickstarter for some people who may not
know. Yeah, sorry. Kickstarter is a kind of a crowdsourcing, fundraising site where people, if they, you know, somebody wants to sell a new product that they're developing,
right.
they can go and encourage the world to contribute and help fund their product and actually get in and be an early bird and get one of the first ones off the line.
In some cases like this, a pre-sale. Right.
It's kind of like that, yeah. I mean, the Pebble smartwatch was like a kind of classic example.
Yeah, right.
So the Go Key actually kind of takes the place of four other little gadgety things that you might be already carrying on your keychain. It's a backup charger, so it has a little battery in it for charging your smartphone on the go. It's a sync and charge cable, so USB and either micro USB or Lightning. Which is very handy.
Oh, either one. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's your choice. So you can't have, you know, it's not one key gives you both. It's pick when you order which connector you want.
So if you have an iPhone, you would want to get the Lightning connector.
Exactly.
Or micro USB for the other ones.
It's also a flash drive, so you can get it with 8, 16, or 32 gigabytes of onboard storage.
Ooh.
Handy dandy. And last but not least, it's a Bluetooth locator. So if you're always losing your keys or you're always misplacing your phone, the two are paired to each other and can find each other within up to about like 100 feet. So if you're the type of person who's always scrambling around your house trying to find your keys or trying to find your phone, now you've got a way to do that.
See, I love these multi-tool ideas.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Now, as I see here, it looks like, now, of course, have they identified the final price yet, or is it still?
No, I think it's...
I see $59, $69, and $79.
Right, that's the expected sell price, although if you get in now as a funder,
right.
You can maybe get it for $10, $15 less as an early bird.
Okay, that's part of the... part of the attraction of getting into a Kickstarter program is that you help them gather the funds they need to get things going, and then also as the benefit from that, you get a shot at the
product. I'm still waiting for Time Machine, you know, payback. That hasn't happened yet.
You haven't got the money.
That flux capacitor investment just didn't work out.
They did make a hot tub Time Machine.
Two of them.
Oh, there we go. We're getting it back. All right. Now, the next one up you have is AOC's Android-powered monitors. That's intriguing.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time deciding what to call this thing, whether it's a big tablet or an Android-equipped monitor, but it's definitely some of both. And I think if you're someone who is actually in the market for a new monitor for your PC, this is something you want to look closely at. Or if you're someone who's looking for kind of like a kitchen PC or a den PC that doesn't necessarily have to have a lot of bells and whistles, but you just want to be able to run apps, this is a fairly traditional-looking desktop monitor that happens to have Android built into it. So it's a full-blown Android 4.1 with a touchscreen, of course. Mm-hmm. And you could easily plug in or pair it with a keyboard or a mouse if you wanted to do that. But it's kind of interesting because, you know, it's available in 22 or 24-inch size. And it's really not priced that much higher than what you would pay for kind of an ordinary monitor, and specifically an IPS monitor. Now, IPS is kind of like a fancier, newer monitor technology that super bright picture and viewable from any angle. Wow. And typically, you pay a premium for that. And so this is an IPS monitor that also happens to run Android. They're $300 and $400, respectively, for the 22 and 24-inch versions. And just kind of a neat option for somebody who's looking for a monitor or a kitchen PC.
Yep.
Has it
USB ports on it? Has it FireWire? Webcam built in?
Oh,
FireWire, what's that?
Oh, never mind. You know, now this almost sounds like what they were going to, what they're promising to do with the flat screen TVs that we're all upgrading to in our living rooms, is that a lot of them are going to be installing the Android. And I think HP has licensed their WebOS to install, what was it on? We were teasing about this. Was it the Samsung TVs or the LG TVs?
I think it was LG.
I think it was LG's. So a lot of the flat screen TVs are going to be coming with Android on them.
Yeah, so instead of just a dumb monitor, it has much more
to
it.
But a TV is something, I mean, you'd have to like stand up and walk over to it and push on this, you know, it's not
quite.
Oh
my God, I could see the kids with the jelly sandwiches.
I can't get my hand off the TV, Daddy.
But obviously, yeah, I think this is where the whole concept of the smart screen, the smart monitor, the smart TV is going, is that it'll run Android, it'll run WebOS, maybe someday it'll run iOS.
You know, I wonder if that, in all seriousness, I wonder, can you wall mount that?
Oh, I think
because that would be great in the kitchen. You got your recipes beside the stove.
Did you see the kickstand?
Yeah, I saw the kickstand. Yeah. But I want to clear my countertop.
But I wouldn't be surprised if you could.
That's a really good question. I don't know if it has the wall mounting.
You know, for the amount that I paid for my, you know, for the amount I paid for my new kitchen cabinets for each door because I had refaced them, I could have got 8 of those things. and it would have been like a scenic view. I could have just put a screensaver on there.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? The problem with that, Cal, is that you have to have power to it. It's not like a tablet where it's going to run off battery.
True.
So then you got to run a power cord somewhere.
Oh, right through the wall.
Right through the wall. Okay, you got to drill.
Okay. Hey,
drill.
We have one last one there. Let's hit it quickly before we go to our break. And that's a selfie case. Yeah, Lord.
This is just kind of silly. I don't think this is something I'd actually buy myself. But for somebody who's heavy into taking the selfies, you know, the self-portraits with your phone, this is a case that has a built-in removable remote that will trigger the shutter. So the idea being that you kind of, instead of when you hold your phone out in front of you to take the selfie and you kind of fumbling for the trigger and maybe you shake the phone and end up with a blurry selfie, this lets you hold a remote in your other hand and just kind of, you know, click the button.
No one would know it's a selfie then.
You know, still have your arm up there,
none of the kids would ever use it, right?
I understand that you can, speaking of remotes, that you can use, Cal, am I right? You can use the Apple headsets, and you can use them to trigger the shutter on the camera?
You are correct.
That's true. Yeah. Because it's the volume up button.
Right,
so
exactly.
Basically anything that has a volume up control or volume control can be used in that way. That's a great tip.
That is. That's
so all your selfies would have a little white wire hanging in it.
But this has a stand that you can set up. It looks like it. Basically a stand that you can put the phone in as it takes a picture.
I think that's kind of the idea. I mean, again, it's really a silly product, and it's $50, and I just don't know that. You must really want to take a picture yourself.
I don't think I want to spend $50 to look, pictures of me. Anyway, hey, folks, if you want to take a look at more of these pictures in depth, Rick Broyd has provided all the links, and they're on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. When we come back in just a minute, we're going to be hearing from patent attorney Randy Peck about the verdict in the Apple-Samsung decision, and I'm going to talk a little bit about neutrality. One of the benefits when Rick Broyd comes in here is he brings all these great toys that he has been testing throughout the weeks and the months, and he kind of gathers them together and brings them in. And we're going to be giving away near the end of this hour. It's called a BlueSync TYM time, I guess is right. It's a clock radio, but it's also got NFC-enabled Bluetooth speaker clock with USB device charging. It's quite a clever thing.
And it was the biggest box of all the stuff that Rick brought in.
And so I just want to mention that the brand on this is Go Groove, but I have some good friends at a company called Accessory Genie that send me a lot of good gear, and this was one of those items they sent me to check out, and it's pretty slick.
Okay. So we're going to be giving that away by the end of the hour. So get ready, Will, to dial quickly to get into that.
We'll have to think of a really good question to ask.
That's right. Yes.
You know,
we'll come up with something. The great minds here will get together and come up with something to have you guys answer in order to be able to qualify for this. Well, something that people have tried answering is who won? We're talking, of course, about the battle between Apple and Samsung. Court decision came down this week. Actually, a second decision came down this week. So to help us kind of sort things out, during the week, I called up Randy Peck, who is a patent attorney at Warner Norcross and Judd in Southfield. And so he's familiar with patents. And I had a conversation with him to ask him about what he thought had happened in the decisions that were made between Apple and Samsung. It has been a classic battle of the giants in the patent courts. And we're talking about, of course, the battle between Apple on the one hand and Samsung on the other hand. Both of them being, if you will, two titans of telephones, or smartphones, if you will, that are out there right now. And it has been something that has been a bit of a bloody battle that all of us have kind of, you know, watched from the sidelines. To help us understand the decisions that have been reached in this, I guess you could call it, momentous case, we called upon Randall Peck, who was one of the patent attorneys with Warner, Norcross, and Judd, a firm of attorneys in Southfield, Michigan. And Randy, thank you very much for joining us to help explain what's happened here finally.
Well, my pleasure, Foster. I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for having me.
We thought we'd call on you particularly because of your background as a patent attorney. What was at stake in this particular trial?
It's been sort of an interesting evolution in the sort of global battle between Apple and Samsung. What the media sort of focused on in the past was the original trial that resulted in over $1 billion awarded to Apple. Was more or less for hardware and the look and feel of an iPhone. And so it had more to do with hardware. This more recent trial, where the decision was just rendered last week, had more to do with the software and the functionality of the iPhone itself, mm-hmm. as compared to the Android system that's on Samsung phones. So essentially, Apple was suing for infringement of many of the features built into iPhones, like the slide to unlock and background syncing and things mm-hmm. like that.
So the first trial ended with a substantial award going to Apple. The way this has been depicted is this is kind of a draw. Would you characterize the results that came out this past week as a draw?
Well, it's a great question. You know, at the end of the day, Apple was awarded another $120 million, which is not an insignificant amount of money. But at the same time, they were seeking $2.2 billion in damages. And they also hoped to get a permanent injunction to prevent Samsung from selling its phones in the United States. And obviously, they didn't get either of those. Mm-hmm. And so, because Samsung can still sell, and realistically, $120 million is bizarrely a drop in the bucket for either of these corporations. I would say that it's more of a win for Samsung, even though they were found guilty of patent infringement.
Now, that's interesting, because in some ways it looks like, with all the verdicts, with all the damages being awarded to Apple, as a bystander, I'd say it looks like Apple won, but you're saying that Samsung won. Why is that?
Well, you know, in patent law, one of the biggest things you can attempt to get is an injunction to prevent your competitors from selling products that infringe on your patents.
Right.
A simple example of that is in the automotive industry. If you're making a component for a vehicle, that component is only used in the vehicle. So if you're selling it, you're buying it for that purpose. And so you can easily establish that, you know, you need a ban on those products to prevent your competitors from infringing your rights. When it comes to software and things like these phones, in order for Apple to get an injunction against Samsung, they have to prove that there's some sort of causal nexus between the actual patented technology itself and the irreparable harm that they would face if the ban were not to go into effect.
I see.
So that being said, when you have an operating system like iOS and you look at how many features it has, even with a valuable feature like Slide to Unlock, it's very, very hard and difficult to pinpoint, you know, irreparable harm from that particular feature when there's really a, you know, myriad of features on a phone.
interesting conversation with Randy Peck. By the way, Randy will be our guest here on the Internet Advisor a little later on this month, talking about patents in general, and that's quite a thorny subject. Speaking of thorny subjects, though, one other one, guys, that came up this week, and we really haven't had a chance to dig into it too much today. We won't today, but what I did was I put some links on our homepage at internetadvisor.net, and it's about the subject of net neutrality. You probably have seen this boiling in the news, and I put some links to Mike Wendland, who had, as I said, a very strong and impassioned kind of a commentary on it. The title of his article is Screwed Again. Woody Leonard has an article in there. He is a longtime observer of the Internet called Net Neutrality Debate, Why You Should Care. And the final one is a news item about the tech giants rallying against the FCC's new proposed rules. Basically, the FCC is proposing some rules about the way that content can be sent over the Internet and about being able to control the speeds and charging different fees for it. So well, can anybody, I mean, toss up all guys, we haven't got much time, can anybody define net neutrality for me?
Well, the FCC said, look, trust us, you know, look how much we benefited the phone industry, the telephone telecommunications industry, so let us do the same to the Internet. So that right there should make you suspicious, right?
Right, right. Trust us, we're from the government, yeah, oh my Lord.
And part of it is they can't regulate the Internet the same way they do the telephone systems because it's not under FCC control right
it's
now.
It's not a common carrier? Am I right about Gary?
Right.
And that means it's not like
so it's
somebody...
Defined, yeah, it's defined differently than the telecommunications companies are. When, in fact, today, we're starting to see the technology blend together.
Yeah, it's all convergence. Right? And I thought early on that was one of the things they were going to do is, okay, let's define all the cable providers and internet providers as...
Common carriers.
Common carriers. And that would then give us the ability.
But then they could take and turn these kind of regulations to make these kind of regulations apply to internet companies.
Gary, you ran an ISP, all right, an internet service provider. What is this business about the last mile? I'm still trying to sort this out. And imagine many of you folks out there listening are doing the same thing, trying to sort out what is this debate about.
So essentially, you know, when you look at the types of traffic that's on the internet, if you have a stream of traffic, you know, something that's streaming, like a movie or an audio clip, you want that to be uninterrupted.
Right.
Well, right now, on the internet, all traffic has the same priority. So it's first come, first serve. If I send a piece of email and it happens to hit a router before or in the middle of your stream that's being sent to you, that email could get in the way. Okay. Now, if you just have enough bandwidth, that's probably not going to happen. That's what usually happens. But at some point when we're all using these big streams, because we're all streaming multimedia, are we going to have enough bandwidth that some things that may not need the same priority, like email, if it's 10 milliseconds later or 10 seconds later, does it really matter, right? Or a post to a forum or something, does it really matter if it's just a little late?
Yeah, or a Facebook post or whatever, something like a Facebook upload or
anything
like that.
Yeah, if you're going to upload a photo, does it really matter?
No.
Right? But if we allow companies to be able to charge, and that's what they're saying was, we'll make it different, right? Instead of saying the type of format or the type of file that goes up, they're saying we're going to allow people to pay more to have a higher priority.
A fast lane. In other words, we're going to create a fast lane, but you're going to pay a toll to drive in that fast lane.
And so what if the large companies charge other large companies more to get in that fast lane, but they charge these small companies that right now don't have to pay that kind of toll.
Right.
They have to pay the extra toll in order to compete.
You know,
Is that going to be fair? Are we going to see the same kind of innovation
when...
We're only allowing big companies or at least people that can pay.
You know, there was something I was going to say. In the network routing industry, when you take networking traffic, what you can do in corporations, what we do is you assign a cost to the traffic. And so it has a higher priority. And wouldn't you know the networking people 20, 30 years ago used that term cost.
To mean cost.
Because it's costing more. And now the internet providers are using that term and... people. It's applying it.
We don't hope, by the way, or pretend to have sorted out this thing. But what we wanted to do, just because it's in the news so much, is to give you at least three sources on our homepage at internetadvisor.net that you can take a look at and try to figure out some of what are the issues as well.
And let's not solve a problem we don't have yet.
Back in just a moment with Mr. Mike Brennan in MI Tech News. Time in our program again to catch up with all the news that's not only fit to print, but talk about as well with MI Tech News and with Mike Brennan, who is the editor. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Foster?
Doing well here on the opposite side of the state from you. I know that spring has arrived finally, and the things are blossoming. So, matter of fact, you've got some mighty happy news to talk about here in terms of your headlines. And the first one that I see up there is that Michigan Tech, which is a great technical university up on Houghton Hancock area, ranks number one university nationwide for Peace Corps volunteers, among other things.
Yeah, this is one I sort of was surprised to read myself, but Michigan Tech has 32 graduate students overseas, and apparently that's enough to earn the university the top spot on the Peace Corps annual ranking. Of graduate schools, that is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they're over there doing better people to go overseas than engineers, right? So.
I love it. I love hearing that, especially, I guess, coming from the growing up in the 60s and 70s, the Peace Corps was, of course, John F. Kennedy started that, and it was kind of the way of getting America's best and brightest around the world and offering their skills to other developing countries. And
he launched it from the steps of Michigan Union Building at U of M. That's where he made the speech.
Another article you have here says that Michigan also ranks, the state that is, in the top 10 states for growing entrepreneurial environment. That's got to be good news for people who are starting businesses.
Well, that's a real flip-flop, too, from the days of 10 years or so ago. This is MI Quest, which is the merger of the Great Lakes Entrepreneur Quest and the Small Business Association of Michigan Foundation. Together, they formed MI Quest, and this survey's been going on, gosh, I don't know, probably a decade. And I remember the bad old days of the survey where we were bouncing around in the bottom 10, but I don't want to sound like I'm doing press for the governor, but because of what he's done and you know, other changes that have taken place, the state's a lot more friendly now towards entrepreneurs. It makes it easier. There's money here. There's connections here. There's networks. Everything's going on.
Yep.
Is that a good place for entrepreneurs? So.
And I know that's part of what you focus on with your headlines. And in addition to that, I know there are many times that you tell folks about different opportunities that are coming up and places to get money for your business and also just to get together with other entrepreneurs as well. That's part of what you focus on. One thing before we take our break, I saw kind of a fascinating article here where you're talking about Pure Michigan and the Bassmaster teaming up to bring the Elite Series to Escanaba, up on the shores of mighty Gitche-Gumee. No, that's Lake Michigan.
Well, then you can do moonlight in Escanaba, right?
There we go.
Yeah, so the Bassmaster program, I did it in Muskegon, I think it was last year, but now they're having a four-day tournament competition, whatever, up there in Escanaba, it's in September 18th through the 21st, and you're going to have 50 of the top professional anglers and their fans for 4 days in Escanaba. And does that sound like a party or
what? Oh, I tell you, it does. And what a great time to be up there. A beautiful time of year to be up there for the beginning of fall. Now, Mike Brennan, as you can hear here, we're talking about some of the headlines, and these are just a little taste of the headlines. It's available to you at mitechnews.com. How do you get hold of it? Well, how would you like this? Every Friday, these headlines and many, many more, plus podcasts and all sorts of other good things, are delivered right to your doorstep electronically. That is, they show up on your computer as a link, absolutely free. All you do to get this is simply to go to internetadvisor.net, scroll down to the page, and right under Mike's smiling face is a button you can click on there to subscribe. You just put in your information to subscribe, and boom, you're on your way. No money changes hands, and you get every week all these stories we've been talking about and many more that focus on national headlines, local headlines, state headlines, help entrepreneurs to find ways of meeting one another and also find the people who will put the money in their pockets to help their businesses thrive. Mike, let's go back to some of the things that you're talking about there. One of them I saw was fascinating is that Microsoft is going to be joining the Madison Block downtown Detroit to expand that tech community.
Yeah, that's Josh Linkner's group there, along with what's going on with Dan Gilbert's group. They're all working together on that block, and then there's a number of companies, including several from Grand Rapids, that have come over there because that's where all the talent is. And so now Microsoft has come. And what Microsoft's going to do is going to be providing technology, mentoring, and networking opportunities.
Wow.
It's actually Microsoft Ventures, so that sounds like moolah to me.
Mm.
So, and that's the lifeblood of entrepreneurship. You don't have the money, you don't get it done, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a good thing. It continues to grow. I mean, it's that whole couple of block area around there has really turned into a mecca for primarily technology-related startups.
A mini Silicon Valley on the shores of the Detroit River there. Mike, thanks so much for being with us today. Folks, these headlines and many more are available to you every week. Simply go to mitechnews.com and you can sign up there, or go to internetadvisor.net and scroll down and subscribe on our page. Mike, take care of yourself.
Thanks, Foster.
What a great time talking to Mike. Hey, we've got something fun going on here. Are you folks ready? Ready to dial? Let me give you the phone number. The phone number is 800-859-0957. That is what you're going to call to win this great clock radio. It's got Bluetooth speaker dock on it. It's, boy, it's, this is the cat's meow. Now, Rick, what's
that?
The question?
Wait a minute. That number again?
The number is 800-859-0957. And the question is, Rick.
Okay, so to win this fabulous prize, you must answer this question. Yep. And I implore you, I beg you, don't use Google. You either know it or you don't.
Okay.
So back in 2011, Netflix announced that they were going to spin off their company into two different companies, one for DVDs and one for streaming. What was the name of the company that they were going to spin off before they pulled the plug on
it? Okay. That was going to be their DVD-only company.
The DVD part that they were going to spin off was called what?
Okay, here's the number, 800-859-0957. And while those folks are calling in, we have got Jason Johnson with us. Jason, how you doing? Hey, Jason, I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to let folks know about something very special, that we are now part of a podcast network that you are working out of, F7 Studios, down on the west side of the state. And tell the folks just kind of quickly what a podcast network is.
Well, Mike Brennan and I started up F7 Studios, and it's very much like the radio shows, except for it's on the internet. So I think most people are probably familiar with the term podcast. They think of iTunes and the podcast directory. So there's all kinds of different things going on online as well as on the air. But it's a digital online version of a radio network.
And it's kind of like on demand, obviously. Like with the radio stations, there's a certain time, like we're on from 4 to 6 today. But with a podcast channel, you can tune in and you can get hold of all sorts of content. And what we wanted to tell you about, folks, is that we've got some very special interviews that we've done that are like an extended version that we don't have enough time to do, for instance, while we're on the air here, Gary. So, for instance, Richard Steenan and I did a whole half hour talking about the security hole and Internet Explorer. And then I also have a conversation with Tim Thews, who is the general manager of the Microsoft office here.
That's right. And so many others. And these can be smaller than, you don't have to download the whole hour of our show. You can download just what you want to listen to, and it might be 5 or 10 minutes.
When would anyone not want a whole hour of the Internet Advisor?
When they want two instead.
We haven't got a winner yet, so let's repeat the question again, Rick. Go ahead and Rick their question. You have to answer this question right now, folks, to win this clock
all
radio.
Right. And all right, you can
try to
use
do it without
Google
too. Okay, if you have to. Okay, so what was the name of the company that Netflix intended to spin off as its DVD-by-mail business back in 2011?
But they didn't spin
they
it off.
Didn't.
They didn't. They pulled the plug.
They pulled the plug on it. And the number you call is 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957.
Now, can Jason play if no one else calls in?
We should.
I was starting to go.
I'm curious. Jason, do you know the... Don't give me the answer, but do you know the answer?
No, I don't. And because I usually do really good at Trivial Pursuit with the yellow category with all, like, you know, technology and news.
Okay, I think we got somebody. But, folks, by the way, if you want to find out more about this podcast channel, just go to internetadvisor.net and the F7 Studios is what you need to click on. Jason, thanks so much for being with us. All right, let's see. Have we got an answer? Okay, and is it line number two or one? One. Okay, hi, who are we talking to here on the Internet Advisor?
This is Christian from Dearborn Heights.
Okay, Christian, what was the company that Netflix was going to spin off to sell the DVDs?
I believe it was Quixtar.
You got it!
That's right. Right. Yeah. Wow. Quixtar with a Q.
He takes it all fantastic. All right, Christian, hang on the line, and we will tell you about what this great prize is and how to get hold of it. So congratulations to Christian from Dearborn Heights. Quixtar was the answer. We'll be back with our second hour to answer all your other questions.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor. To see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at www.internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, Our toolkit, full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, plus other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage and send us an email with the details. Don't forget to look for us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard the second hour of the Internet Advisor. Hi, Foster Brown here, and this is your hour. That's when we take your calls live here at 800-859-0957. Your free consultation with a whole bunch of different experts here in studio, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, Cal Carson, and myself, Foster Brown, trying to help you out with your problems. We can't unless you call us with them. 800-859-0957. That's the number that gets you some answers. For those of you guys out there who may not have recalled, this weekend is El Día de la Madre. It's the Mother's Day weekend, so don't forget that. And by the way, just as somebody who has been married for nearly 40 years, let me tell the guys out there who say, well, I'm not going to do something for my wife because she's not my mother. You're in for a lot of trouble. If you follow that line of thinking, and consider death as one of the possibilities, be sure to make sure that your lady knows that she is honored as a mother, and as well as your own mom and the other women that you know in your life who are mothers as well. And in all seriousness, we want to salute them. And in particular, there's one young mother we would love to salute, and that is our very own Emily Hay. Emily, how are you doing?
Hi, Foster. I'm doing well. Thank you. And hi, all you guys. I missed you in person.
Hey, we miss you, but this is your first year of Mother's Day, having a Mother's Day, right?
Thank you.
Wow,
thank you. Now I'm in the mother's camp, officially.
Yeah, right. There you are. There you are. By the way, folks, if you go to internetadvisor.net, Cal has a question for you. He wants to know what that device is.
Is that like a microwave for the baby, or is it a little time machine? What is that thing that you've got your little syrup in?
Oh, gosh, I'll have to see what you guys are talking about.
It's the picture that has, you're there, it's your first birthday as a mom, and you have a bunch of rows of flowers in your hand, but the baby is in a contraption that looks a little bit like Robbie the Robot.
Oh, my gosh, from Facebook, right. So that's what baby swings look like today, believe it or not. No more the crank, and no more the four legs.
Wow.
Now, does that run on Bluetooth?
Excellent question. It's solar powered.
Oh, my word. Excellent. And your little sweet Ainsley is your daughter's name. A little darling is there. And she is now, I saw another picture. I think we have it on our Facebook page. She is, a full month old now, or a little over a month?
Yes. Yep. She's a month and 5 days. It's so nice of you guys to ask. And so motherhood is going well. And I'll tell you, besides my child, the other thing I've had in my hand all the time has been my smartphone, because of all the motherhood apps that I've been using lately.
Can you suggest some for some of the moms who are listening right now? Any special ones that you find particularly useful?
Of course. So there's a few pregnancy apps that were really helpful during the 9 months. But for any moms out there, you don't even have to be a new mom, but there's a resource called Baby Center. And Baby Center has such a helpful app that you can track your child's meals and growth and medications, and you can go online and print out reports if you'd like. So that's been pretty keeping motherhood and tech connected.
That's cool. So that's with Baby Center. And by the way, I tell you what, Amber, you would send me a link to those, but I imagine you can go on to the App Store, right?
Okay. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, just go to the App Store. And what, you search for Baby Center?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
I'm going to completely take you off subject of apps and ask you another question. You're Miss Social.
Naps?
She's Miss Social Media. What social media sites are out there for mothers and for babies and pregnancy and a whole shoot and match?
Well, one thing I've seen more than anything has just been how people have started using hashtags for their children. A while, I started using hashtag Hey Baby.
I love it.
Hey, so baby. Lots of moms definitely do hashtags and make sure to take pictures of their babies with those. The little 1 month sticker. That's a local company in Michigan, a company called Sticky Bellies. And so they know that moms post pictures on Facebook all the time. So you buy a package of stickers and you take pictures of your child each month.
I like that.
I love that. Now, I want to know, did you happen to pick up kind of like a domain name before you named your baby?
You know what, Carrie? I didn't. So you can tell I'm slacking, that now I need to get on that and make sure I've reserved her name.
Eddie?
Yeah, Emily, this is Eddie. You know, one of the things I thought of is how many panicky phone calls I made to my parents or my sisters, because I have five sisters, and they all had kids. And you know, I guess I could have just tweeted them or I could have text messaged them, so they wouldn't have heard all that anxiety in my voice. You know, so have you found yourself doing that?
Well, I was pretty quiet on social media when it came to sharing. Now, to ask for advice, that's a great call. But there has been some debate about women using Twitter to live tweet their labor and their birth situations.
Mm-hmm.
And not to judge whatever someone chooses to do, but I certainly was not in that camp.
Yeah. No. What I was referring to is, that first month, and the baby's doing this. What do? I can't get it to sleep. And my sisters would say, just rock it. That's all she wants to do is be held, you know. And you're it's 3 a.m. in the morning, and you got a screaming baby. And I would call my parents or my sisters, and they hated me. So I'm figuring a text message would have been much more polite.
Well, Eddie, I've definitely been texting everyone I know. In fact, I've been using WhatsApp more than anything, because I have family over in the U.K., and so we use WhatsApp to see, hey, is the baby awake? Can we jump on Skype and see her? So technology is definitely bringing my family together to get to know her
across,
this early.
Across the pond, as they say. Cal?
Aside from the atomic baby rocker, what other technology have you been using to help raise your syrup?
A video monitor. So no longer do you have a baby monitor that's just like a walkie-talkie with audio. They have full-blown video, and you mount a camera, and you can even move the camera around to see the baby in different parts of the crib. And you can even, it has a two-way talking component, so when she's old enough to understand, Ainsley, lay back down, I can tell her that through the monitor.
So on the box
Big
of
brother
this,
is watching you.
On the box of this device that you bought, does it say my first webcam?
You're right. It should come with a warning label, right?
No, it says called NSA.
Well,
Emily, congratulations on this wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day for you. Your very first one as a mama. And we look forward to sometime you bringing Ainsley, your dear little daughter, in here, and your husband as well, perhaps. You can sit and babysit while we talk with you. But in the meantime, we're going to use all the social media we can to keep in touch with you. Take care.
Thanks for not forgetting about me, you guys. I look forward to seeing you in person soon.
All right. Thank you. Back in a second to start taking your calls. Well, as we said, our second hour is dedicated to you. That's the time when we open up our phone lines toll-free at 800-859-0957. And you get to set the stage and ask the question. So let's dive right into it, guys. Let's say hello to Craig, who is calling us from Shelby, Ohio. Craig, how are you doing, and what can we do for you at the Internet Advisor?
Hey, guys, it's so good to hear from you. I've asked some dumb questions in the past, but this one is huge.
Okay, go right ahead.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Hey, thank you. We'll pass it on.
My computer crashed. My Gateway Mini crashed last Sunday. Okay. And I've been doing everything and anything to get it back. I've gone into BIOS. I can't even begin to where to start. It had been asking me for some time to do, like, disk updates. And here's what I think I did. I went in to clean up some programs, and I think I deleted a Realtek PXE boot start, if that makes any sense.
Well, Ed, do you recognize what he's talking about in terms of the file that got deleted?
Well, I mean, when you say you removed a bunch of programs, and the only way to really do those, of course, is programs and features, and you uninstall them. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you also may have gone in there and started deleting individual files or folders. Is that what you may have done as well?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you just used... Okay. So you went into programs and features and started removing things.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like I had Google, like, the Maps thing, you know, anything that took up space, it was slowing down pretty, you know, pretty bad.
Right.
I
removed anything that, you know, took up space. And when I tried to restart, what I got when I go into the boot options, I've got a network boot. I've got my HDDO and the code for that boot. And then I've got my USB Sony, which... there's nothing backed up on it. I just use that to free up space.
Okay.
And
well, you wouldn't boot from that, I wouldn't imagine, unless you had another operating system on it. So
the question is, okay, so Are you able to boot up at all to the hard drive at all, and allows it to crash? Are you even getting that far where there appears to be a Windows operating system? Do you see a Windows splash?
Yeah, here's what's really strange. I was able to get my mouse functions back, both with my touchpad and my my actual uncordable mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wireless
mouse. I don't know how old you guys are, but I go to a setup is starting, and if you ever seen that movie of The Day the Earth Stood Still, the robot came out and it slit in his helmet, and the light goes back and forth.
Oh, then it freezes?
That's what I get.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you're getting that. So the operating system is attempting to start. Have you tried starting it in safe mode by tapping the F8 key?
F4 and F8. Okay. I've done all of them. I went through...
And does it go into safe mode?
All the modes.
And does it go into safe mode?
No, it just goes back to that setup is starting, and you get that little light thing going back and forth on that slit.
Do you have another computer?
No.
Okay.
Not of my own, but here's what I was thinking.
Well, here's the other thing that I was thinking about, too. And you want to be careful when you do this, but is it possible to boot it up... I believe on a gateway, F12 will put you in recovery mode, and it may be a way for you to recover the operating system without deleting your data.
Well, that's gone. I know it's out the window, across the rooftops, went away. I mean, it couldn't have come at a worse time, because looking for a job, my resume and everything's on there right now.
Okay, so...
Your only other choice might be is that if you have a buddy that has a functioning computer right now, and if you're mechanically inclined, you could take the hard drive out of that machine and put it into your buddy's machine or an enclosure, copy your data off of it so you can get your job done, whatever you have to do, and then get a machine to working for that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But he said he had a mini, so the hard drive may not be easily accessible to remove.
Okay.
Is it? Is it great?
That's another strange thing, too, because I can hear the hard drive spool up.
Okay.
Like when it goes in at... set up a starting mode. I can hear it spool.
Well, Craig, what they're suggesting to you is that if you can get at the hard drive, would be to take it and put it into a drive.
You have to remove it out of the existing laptop.
Remove it out of the existing laptop, the mini, and then put it into a little drive tray.
Which costs $20 at the most.
Yeah. And it plugged it into a friend's computer or into another computer, and then, as Cal was saying, then search that drive for the documents that you need.
User directory and just pull his entire directory out of there.
Right, exactly.
Well, I would just be happy to have my basic Windows 7 back. But here's a theory, and I need your opinion on this. I do have set up for Windows 7, and I had the Windows Starter on this. I never got around to do it. Never got around to backing up. Same old excuses. Mm-hmm. But what if I was to get an external hard drive? Put my Windows Starter into it, put it in the USB, you think I can get anything back?
Boot off of that?
I don't think Windows will allow you to install the Windows on an external USB device. It may, but as Cal and I were saying, if your resume and everything is on this other laptop, or is on your laptop, if it was me, I would find a way of removing that hard drive out and like Cal said, get an external drive tray for $20, and so you could at least back up your data and get your copy.
Where would I get that?
You can get them at Micro Center, Best Buy.
He's calling from Ohio. So what you might do is, I think at almost any store that has a good array of computer equipment, it might be an office supply store.
Independent computer store would definitely
exactly.
have
it. Right.
And then they make these little cheap, trays, aluminum trays that you plug the hard drive into and slide it into the tray. Matter of fact, have you already have like a laptop? I'm sorry, not a laptop. Do you already have an external hard drive?
No, I never plugged one into this.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you had an external.
No, he doesn't have it.
Okay.
So
that's
then,
what I was thinking about. I was thinking about getting one, plug it in USB, and put in the Windows. Seven update.
Well, what the guys are saying is, Craig, that probably won't work. So here's what we're going to offer you, and. There are probably other things that can be done, but we're going to suggest this, is that you see if you can remove the hard drive from that the Gateway Mini, and then find a way of plugging it into another computer and then just pulling that data off of there that's important to you, Ed.
Another thing I just thought of, and if you can go to someone's house, maybe even the library will do it, but I doubt it because they don't let you download programs and execute them. but the Harum's boot CD. It has the ability to create a bootable flash drive. So you can create a boot. You could go buy a 32 gigabyte or a USB flash drive. Go to a friend's house. Go to internetadvisor.net in our toolkit, and there's a way. It says bootable disk drive media, and there's a Harum boot CD that
as
you could download.
Hiren, Hiren's bootable.
And what you do with this, once you've created this bootable USB drive, you could stick it into your gateway, your mini gateway that's crashed, and you're booting up off of the flash drive.
Right.
It'll give you a graphical interface. It's Linux, okay?
Right.
But it simulates Windows, and then you'll be able to then copy your data to that same USB drive. That's right. Why I'm suggesting you get a 32 gig. And you can copy your critical data onto that flash drive, shut down the computer, and then you have your data on this USB flash drive.
And one of the things is when you have your data, then you're free to do pretty much anything you want.
Right.
You can get another hard drive and put it into the machine
and
then find a way of putting Windows 7 back on there. There's all sorts of other options.
As a matter of fact, if you know anyone with Windows 8, you can do something similar as well. If you know, Windows 8 allows you to create a Windows 8, which is compatible with a Windows 7 emergency recovery CD.
Mm.
And Windows 8 allows you to create one directly to a flash drive. So if you have a family or a friend that has Windows 8, you could tell it to, I'd like to make an emergency recovery or a rescue flash drive. And it'll say, do you wish to make it on your CD-ROM drive or would you like to make it on a flash drive? And you can put it on a flash drive. And then you have the ability to come up in a similar graphical environment on your laptop. You can boot off that flash drive.
Okay. So there's a couple of suggestions for you there. Hope that one of them suits you. And by the way, if you didn't get all of these details, if you wait for our podcast to come out on Sunday night, you can check this particular section and listen a little bit more closer to it. Again, in the toolkit that Ed's put together at internetadvisor.net, there's a lot of great resources. Back in just a minute, talk with Jim from Westland and to you at 800-859-0957. Back for some more questions and some more answers. All right, Smarty Pants, let's get to helping some folks out there. The number again, 800-859-0957. Jim from Westland, thank you for waiting patiently. How can we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
Okay, I'm interested, and my computer crashed with XP. I don't have any vital data. I got to get off of it because I got another computer.
Okay.
But Windows 7, a lot of my friends like better than 8.
Yeah,
and
okay.
How long is Windows 7 going to be there? Is it going to be there another 5 years, or is there a red flag with Vista telling us that Microsoft's going to get Windows 7 next? What would you estimate is the time left for Windows 7?
Well, you don't have to estimate. I think Microsoft has said, I have to look at this.
No, it's 10 years, right? We had the Microsoft dude on there last week, and we were asking that same question.
And then we got another 5 or 6 years left of Windows 7.
No, 10 years from now, right?
I think it's,
Or no, I think he said 10 years for the life cycle of the product.
Oh, okay.
So if Windows 7 came out in 2000, what year did that come out in? 2009?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
It's probably already 5 years old. You get another 5 years out of it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, roughly another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry right now. But the other thing is that you're going to have things somebody call Windows 9, which is the next version of Windows is coming out. I think it's going to be in 2015. And that may be easier to move to than just hanging on to Windows 7. So a lot of other things could be happening in the meantime, but I think you're going to be safe for quite a while.
I think it's a real good bet that you'll be replacing your computer before Windows 7 is end of life.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, tell that to all those Windows 98 users.
That are still out there with it.
Now, Windows 8.1, though, to 9, you can probably get an update for that, or you're going to have to pay, or you don't know.
Which was that again, please?
8.1, if you have it on a computer,
yes,
and 9 comes out, you're going to have to pay for that update, or you do not know?
I'm thinking if Microsoft comes up with another major operating system like Windows...
Well, 9 is the one through
9,
right?
Then that's going to be an upgrade. That'll
so Windows 7 will end extended support January 14th, 2020.
Ooh, that's actually pretty good. That's 6 more years.
Yep.
You know, if I was to put a crystal ball on anything, and I don't know anything, Microsoft, when they go to Windows 9, if it goes the way the industry is going, I think they're going to try and do like Apple and make it a minor cost update. This is my own speculation.
I agree.
Like maybe $50 Yep. For an individual to upgrade.
Well, if they do, it'd be a first, but they need to do something like that.
I think they're going to have to, because they're getting, I mean, it's nuts to have to pay over $100 to get Windows 7 right now. That's so, absolutely nuts.
So why do they have to?
No, they don't have. Well, the competitors.
Because we all pay it.
Well, right. But the competitor, well, what was the jump from Windows 7 to 8?
That was $120
yeah, it was
for a minimum.
Bucks.
So we all pay
I don't
it.
Know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
But well, what about playing with Apple? They're giving you Maverick. If your computer can run it, absolutely free. So
yep.
Even though Apple's in some cases cost a lot more.
Yeah, you pay for the hardware.
They do have a lot more advantages.
Well, you know, it all depends on, one, what do you need to do?
Right.
Will that computer operating system, whether it's Windows, whether it's Apple, will it do the job you need to have done? What is it that you really want?
Right.
And you make those decisions. You pay for whatever you decide you want to do with, and you live with it and enjoy it for what it is. Not one is any better than the other.
Right.
It's just what works best for you.
And, Jim, I have to say, I made the switch 4 years ago from Windows to Apple, and I'm on a Mac. And actually, I work in both worlds. I work in Windows 8 as well. And it took me a good 2 or 3 years, and there's still some things that I don't do as easily on my Mac as I do in Windows.
No, we really only heard you complaining for the first 9 months. After that,
my Mac,
I've
never had an easier computer than my Mac, I'll tell you that, of all the computers I've owned.
Good for you. I still had a learning curve, but you're right. And a lot of the things about Mac, and Cal, correct me if I'm wrong, is they don't allow you to get behind the scenes as much as Microsoft used to.
Well, you can, but you just have to be a little more astute.
That's exactly it. Cal can, I can't, and shouldn't. Ed will vouch for that.
It's like Linux in the... Well, it is Linux in the background.
Well, because you have to remember, the origin of the Mac and the whole concept behind Steve Jobs was give the people computing power without having them have to learn how the computer works.
Yep.
They want to sit down, use the application, get the job done, and move on.
Yep.
Windows was a different environment entirely. You had a bunch of tech people that came along with that. These were people who liked to get under the hood, that liked the monkey around with stuff, and also use it as a computer as well. So it all depends on what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you find out whether it's going to take care of the tasks that you want to take care of, pick it, and then just go ahead and enjoy for what it is, right, because exactly. That's how it should work.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you, Jim, for your question. By the way, folks, there is a page, I think Gary and I are both on the same one, from Microsoft and Windows, and it shows you the end of life of these different things. XP ended exactly on April the 8th, 2014. Vista will end in 2017. Windows 7 ends, the support, by the way, for this, the extended support ends in 2020. And for Windows 8, that's running right now, the end of life of that is 2023.
You guys are always on the same page. That's great.
All right. Hey, by the way,
they use the same scroll.
All right, let's go to Thomas from Farmington. Thomas, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hi. Is this the Internet Advisor?
You betcha.
I'm Thomas.
Hello, Thomas. What can we do for you?
Today on Big Face the Nation.
All right, Thomas.
Say,
are we? Do you have a question for us, Thomas, or just a performance?
It's totally sweet.
I think we may be missing the boat here, so we're going to let Thomas...
You're so funny.
Thank you. We're going to let Thomas entertain himself there for a while. All right.
And perhaps Thomas is the tanked engine.
There you go. Betty from Plymouth. Betty, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
How can we help you?
Well, unfortunately, I've got an old Dell that has I'm maxed out. It's 2 gigs. And I loved XP, and I'm still stuck with XP. So I can't go any further up the scale.
Okay.
You know that they ended in April. They ended support for XP.
We were just talking about that, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I'm getting pup viruses constantly, and I'm always the only software that can take it off is Malwarebytes.
By the way, excuse me. This for step back for a second. Pup are the potentially help me guys
unwanted programs.
There you go. Potentially unwanted programs. They're not necessarily deliberately malicious, but they're potentially unwanted programs. Right? Okay.
Right.
Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now you're so going on from there.
Yeah, and I'm always going to say, and Malwarebytes is the only one that isolates them and quarantines them.
Okay.
And that, I've been getting them since April. And the other thing that I've noticed is when I try to open up Internet Explorer, if I change my default home to a different home site and reboot my computer, it automatically goes to Google, whether I like it or not. Mm. It goes to the Google search engine, and I don't want it.
Yeah. Well, you know, there might be that you still have an antivirus program on there. I believe McAfee has a site advisor that... And several other antivirus programs. So, because Malwarebytes is an anti-malware program. It's a scanner, one-time use, unless you've paid the $25 to get the license for it to provide real-time protection. Antivirus programs, a lot of them monitor changes made to your homepage, and then they will then notify you, homepage has been changed. Do you wish to, are you sure you wish to change this? But when they expire, when your antivirus software has expired, it will no longer notify you, and it'll just revert it back. So it's possible that your antivirus software is changing your homepage back to the way it was.
But Betty, basically, you're still using XP?
Yeah.
Yeah. And folks, as you hear Betty talk, this is kind of what's happening now with that for people who are using XP, is that you are now going to be vulnerable to some stuff, some happening. Go ahead, Kel.
Hey, Betty.
Yeah.
Lean a little closer to the radio. I want to talk to you.
Oh, okay.
Here's the deal. How long have you had that XP machine?
Well, I've had this computer. Well, it came preloaded with XP. Geez, must be 8 years now.
I think it's time.
Look, I love my Dell.
Okay, it's all right to love your Dell. They still make Dells. Yes. And you can get a new Dell with a new operating system and leave some of this problematic stuff behind. Because, as Gary would say, you're not going to be taken care of because they're no longer going to do patches or anything like that. And so this festering sore is only going to get worse before it gets better. Yeah.
And the new ones are a lot faster, and you'll pay less than you paid for the when you paid for this one.
Yeah, you know, you kind of have to look at it like, look around your house and go like, yeah, you got new shoes over time, you bought new furniture over time. It's time for a new computer. And you'll look fabulous.
Or a new used computer.
That's a good point.
I just bought a new used truck for, you know, really cheap, and I love it.
But you could go to, you know, Micro Center and get a refurbished, and they will guarantee it. Mm-hmm. And that might be a good way to go, too.
And it comes with Windows, so you can get it with Windows 7, so you don't have to make that huge, I hate to say this, the huge change in the environment that Windows 8 requires.
It's just a learning curve, right, to go to 8.
And Betty,
7 will look and feel very similar to XP.
And Betty, realize that you can operate XP. Give yourself a lot more credit than you are. You can handle a new operating system.
Oh, yeah.
It just takes a little bit of time to say, okay, this is different how I do this. This is different how I do this. But I can still get the same result.
And
you'll be happier with it.
And a lot of mom and pop shops do the same thing that Shane does, who's also a guest on our show or one of our co-hosts.
Yep.
And they purchase 2-year-old computers, 1-1.5-year-old lease computers. They reload an operating system, and when you purchase it for a small fee, they'll move all your data and favorites and photos and videos to your new computer.
So, Betty, what we're saying is there are some big places like the Best Buys or Micro Centers, but there's also some of the local computer shops that often have some very good deals on some of those older computers, and look for them as well, okay? Thanks for being with us, hon. You take care and have a very good day. Back in just a second. Before we go any further and wrap things up here, I do want to make some acknowledgement of the folks behind the glass, as we say, who are running things, making us sound good all the time. Rich Lozinski, thank you so much, our engineer. Annie Nichols, who is our lady of the telephones, and KT, Ken Tucker's in there. Shannon Manny, she was back there for a while, too. And thank you to her as well, to all the folks who are making us sound good. By the way, still have room for one more call from you. 800-859-0957. If you're desperate to get an answer, good time to call. 800-859-0957. And we have Dave with us from Flushing. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Yes, sir. Is this Foster?
This certainly is. What can we do for you?
I got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Are you connected to Foster Brooks in Las Vegas?
Well, we're both recovering alcoholics. He made a lot of money out of being a recovering, acting drunk.
Foster Brooks. Listen, I'll kind of be brief.
Yeah,
if I can explain my problem. I was having some trouble with my laptop.
Okay.
And I happened to be on it one day, and a help sign clicked on, and I clicked on it. And I got involved with an outfit. I think that their company name is a small I.
Mm-hmm.
It's I-T-O-K.
Okay.
I capital T-O-K.
Okay.
And I think they're located in Utah.
Okay.
Now, they helped me out, and I
And then this kind
them.
Of just popped up on your machine and said, what did it say to you at that time when it popped up?
I don't remember.
Oh, but anyway, you had a problem at
I
the
had
time?
A problem. Oh, they okay. hopped on machine, actually took it over.
Okay, so they remotely went into your machine and did some repairs on it.
And did some repairs, I guess.
Okay.
There was a bill. Uh-oh. I paid the bill, and now I'm getting a $19.95 per month charge, which I don't remember agreeing to.
Well, I want to stop you for just a second, Dave, because this is, I think, a kind of a cautionary tale to a lot of people out there.
Okay.
First of all, you said, I think they helped me. In other words, did the problem go away that they said they were curing, or you don't know?
No, I believe it did go away. I don't have my laptop with me right
oh,
now.
Oh, okay, okay.
But out of this, I have two email addresses mm-hmm. of two fellows that helped me. One was in Utah and one was in San Francisco, I think.
Okay.
I wrote down their email addresses.
Right.
And I wrote down their phone numbers.
Okay.
I haven't contacted either one, mm-hmm. and I probably don't expect much help anyways.
Okay. But
am I obligated for a monthly charge?
I would say no. I mean, the first place people I would do is call my credit card company and block them.
Okay.
And that's the first thing I would do. And, Cal, you had some words of wisdom on this, too, because we've had a number of people call in on when this happens. And, you know, I sort of like your take on it.
Well, the first thing I would do is I would get in contact with my credit card company and contest the charges to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, how long has this been going on a monthly basis?
It's about 2 months now.
Okay. Well, that's good. It hasn't been long. So immediately I would stop that charge from going through. Second, I would get in contact with them and say, hey, I did not subscribe for a monthly service with your organization. I would like you very much to cancel it. And also, in addition to that, please refund back to me that second month charges because I did not, you know, ask for that support.
First.
I would give them at least that first month's worth as a lesson learned that,
okay.
you know, you know, you didn't want to get involved in that type of thing.
My first approach would be through my credit card company.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because
absolutely.
That would stop the charges from automatically
being
hit
on you. Is that how you paid for it?
You.
I did, yes.
Yeah, so but they're usually their first charge is like either $100 or $189 when they provide you that real support. Is that approximately what they charged you?
Approximately $100 on the first.
Yep.
Right.
And I felt that I owed that because we were on the phone or on the internet back and forth for hours.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon, I think.
I would give them that if you felt like you got the support from it. That $100 is earned by them. But
okay.
any of the subsequent charges that you would charge, I would ask them to recredit them back to your credit card. But more importantly, I get my credit card company not to accept their charges anymore.
Yeah. And you have the right to do that. By the way, Dave, you may very well, however, have agreed to something without knowing that you were agreeing.
Right.
It may have been in the fine print.
Yeah, because when you installed their software from their website, there may have been something in the
yep.
license agreement that says, by clicking here and
yep.
acknowledging that the person that you're remotely supporting, mm-hmm. you're agreeing not only to the support, but a monthly charge.
Yeah.
You know, I'm paraphrasing what those
right.
legal people, you know, spell out that we never read.
So I probably answered yes, and that did it.
Yeah,
yep.
Well, but and you can very well, I think, go to your credit company and saying, I did not knowingly agree
okay. yes.
to a monthly charge.
Okay.
And your credit card company, I think, they recognize this kind of deal.
Yes.
And will shut them down.
Matter of fact, I downloaded some software, and I have to find, and it's on our website, I downloaded CCleaner, Foster. I might have to tell you this. And when I downloaded CCleaner, the CCleaner installed, but then it also installed something very similar to iTook, and it was that little
sounds familiar, that CCleaner. I think that's what I'm
CCleaner
involved
in.
CCleaner, and then what happened is then it had this little guy with, on the top, any window that was open, you had the guy, picture of a head with a headphone on, willing to offer me immediate support if I was to click on it.
Yeah.
So I had to identify that software and remove it. So I went into Programs and Features in Windows 7 or Vista and uninstalled it. And then I downloaded Malwarebytes from the InternetAdvisor.net website. And then I also, that came down cleanly, and I scanned my computer and it found all sorts of potentially unwanted programs, PUPs.
Yeah.
But it did not identify iTook because it is a legitimate company.
Mm-hmm.
CCleaner sounds like what I was involved in.
The other thing, too, Eddie is saying something important here.
But CCleaner is a legitimate program,
yes.
but it happens to have some baggage now.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and one of the baggage is they've bundled it with
yep.
one of these online services
yep.
that provides you remote support, and to me, it's all a little bit of shady stuff going on.
And we're finding there's more and more of things that we recommend to people that suddenly, well, I got this happen to me. It was because it's now become bundled together with something else. So one of the morals of this, by the way, Dave, for you and for everybody else, this is including me and Ed as well, and Cal, when you are downloading something, watch those screens very carefully, because some of them will have things checked off in them, like you agree to install X along with this.
Okay.
And I don't want that at all. Like, it could be an antivirus program.
Did I understand you're getting calls from others with the same problem?
Yes, we've had other people who have said that in terms of email as well. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
If you go to the Better Business Bureau, BBB.org, and for the state of Utah, you can find information on italk.net.
Oh, really?
Contact them directly. There's a phone number out there, and perhaps maybe you can get in direct contact
with
them.
Well, I've got, like I said, the two fellows' names and their phone numbers.
Yeah, but they may not call you back. I mean, you and I are of a generation where...
Their number by now.
No, you and I are of a generation where we would try to talk to them as individuals.
Right.
They're not individuals. They're someone at a help desk. They deal with hundreds of people a day, and they blow off 100 people a day that try to contact them back again.
Right.
They have no... They may or may not have any decency to reply to your emails.
Okay, that's about all the time we have right now, but I hope some of that there has helped you and a lot of other people who find themselves in that same kind of situation. Hey, Mike out there in Royal Oak, hang on. We'll try to get to you after we get off the line here. Thank you very much, folks, for being with us. And don't forget that starting on Sunday night, we will be posting on our homepage, internetadvisor.net, both the podcast and some of the individual elements of the program that we have heard as well. So you can download, for instance, the second hour that had some of the problems we are tackling, or some of the things from our first hour when Rick Broider was talking about some of the things on our homepage. Don't forget to check out some of those things on the homepage that Rick talked about. And join us again this coming week when we're going to have more things to give away and make your Saturday a good one by answering some of your questions as well. Thanks so much for joining us here, and thanks for all the folks behind the glass who have helped us as well. Cal, Gary, Ed, it's been a great day here on the Internet Advisor. Take care, folks. See you next Saturday.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.